This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, and for more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. Now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is March 10th, 2017, and I welcome you to Invest Talk. Above Average Investing for the Average Investor is what we are all about. So we try to answer your questions during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. And just give you some information to help you become more knowledgeable about investing. Our number is 888-99-CHART, and we'll go to that in just a minute. Excuse me. Four things the best 401ks share. Four things. Well, I agree with three of the four things, but not all of them. Not that fourth one. And that's going to be our main talking point today. You've heard me mention it more than once. We at KPP Financial do not invest in companies that do not make money. But just because a company is profitable doesn't make it a good investment. Any company that is to be considered as an investment must be profitable. It has to be profitable on a consistent basis, not just a quarter or two quarters in a row. And that also means if they have a quarter or two quarters in a row of not making money, but they have a consistent year-over-year basis of making money, then that's a company you can invest in. Anyways, we've gone through a number of terminology. And I'm going to talk about return on equity. Now, this is a theoretical number, the return of company on a shareholder's average. We'd like to see that number in the high teens. I mentioned that earlier this week. High teens. Make sure that is return on equity. Now, being Friday, our preview newsletter hits our subscriber email boxes. So let's take a quick look at what's inside this week. Our first section of this newsletter, I write it every Friday, goes out in the morning, is the current market conditions. And this is just a review of what's happening and what economic reports came out and what's happening in the market and what's happening in the world as far as that might affect the market. And, you know, I always give them a bit of assessment at the very end. And, of course, this week we talked about the jobs report and a couple other economic reports. And, you know, one of the reports that many people don't pay a lot of attention to, but they should, is the quarterly productivity numbers. Why should they? Because that goes to the standard of living of you and me and everybody else in our economy. You want that number rising. If the standard of living goes up, then people feel more comfortable about spending. And remember, our whole economy is driven by the consumer. So you would like to see that number go up. Second section, I have a couple of stock ideas always. These are usually companies that either we own or we like. And we suggest that you put them on your watch list. We don't say go buy them. We don't make that recommendation. That's not what we do. And the reason why we don't do that is because I have rules. The SEC has rules and I can't violate them. In the portfolio management section, we talked about successful companies' attributes. What are the attributes when deciding on a company? What kind of attributes are you looking for? Fourth section was a consumer watch, and this week I talked about watching TV, cutting the TV cable. That's the newsletter that comes out every Friday. It's less than $10 a month, $9.95 or something like that. And you can buy it for 1 week or for a month or a year. I don't care. I don't like to hold people's feet to the fire by making you buy a year's worth and then you don't use it. Okay, now let's get to work. We're ready for any money questions. 888-99-CHART. Let's go to the phones and take this question.
Hi, Steve. It's Patrick from Champaign, Illinois, avid podcast listener. I just had a question regarding return on equity. I know you mentioned it in yesterday's podcast, and you often mention that you look for it in the high teens. Curious, because return on equity is typically net income over the book value of equity. I often don't hear you relate the return on equity to the price to book ratio. So if you're paying two or three times book value to get that high teens are we like what I guess how do you relate the two? Because you could be overpaying for ROE in one sense and not the other. So if you could just kind of describe the value, how you think about high ROE versus high book value, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
And of course, that's one of the reasons why you never just take a look at one factor. A return on equity can also be distorted by borrowing, increasing the equity and the return, but you're now increasing debt. So you've got to be real careful. Return on equity, as you know, I like in the high teens, but that doesn't mean you just say, okay, I'm going to buy it. I like it. It's in the high teens or higher, therefore I should buy it. No. I don't really. Book value used to be extremely important. And these days, I mean, when I say these days, the last 20, 30 years, it's gotten less and less important as we got more and more tech companies out there and less manufacturing companies out there in the stock market. And so, because everything used to be, if you're the intelligent investor, Ben Graham follower, he wants, and he wrote his book, and he is the grandfather of value investing. He wrote his book in the 1930s. He wanted you to buy all the stocks at below book value. Well, that's rare to find a stock that's below book value these days. Just doesn't exist. So you can't really use his philosophy. But in his day, we were pretty much a manufacturing country. Okay, so that was much more important. He still is very pertinent because he has other valuations there. And you're talking about, return on equity compared to the book value. So it is hard to make that comparison. You got to look at return on equity, return on assets, price earnings ratio, profit margins, net margins, all the various factors to determine whether you buy a company. I wish it was simple and you could just use return on equity, but you can't. I wish it was simple that you could just look at the book value and its relationship to the return on equity, but you can't. Because everything's, you can't. If it was that easy, everybody would do it and, it wouldn't be a stock market where things go up and down. Everybody be winners. You just look at one number. It doesn't work that way. Just does not. Scanning thousands of companies, research firm rates the best 401k plans. Four things the best 401k plans share, and that's going to be one of our main talking points, and I don't like one of those four things. Remember, they're saying these four things the best. And I'm looking at them and I'm saying, why did they put that fourth one in there? That tells me something's off about that. Something's off, meaning maybe the industry wants that fourth one in there. Not necessarily good for you, the individual. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about. Also, I want to talk about the jobs report that came out this morning. Touch base on that. Have you ever heard of the Ohama Titanic Syndrome? Ohama, not Obama. Ohama Titanic Syndrome. Sounds ominous, doesn't it? What is that? Well, we're in one. It's happened this week. And it's not supposed to be good news. So we'll talk about that. And I think I've touched on this before. The topretirement.com, they come out every year, the seventh annual 100 most popular places to retire to. Most popular. And we'll just talk about that a little bit. And if I can, I want to get to those tax grants. I don't think we got to the tax scams yesterday. So hopefully we can get to that. I would like to do that. Scanning the, so what do you want to talk about? The market was down. Was up today. It was up. The Dow was up 45. The Nasdaq up 23. And the S&P up 8. After what? Three, four out of the five, or three out of the four previous days, it was down. Well, what do we have here? The market has kind of slowed down, but the jobs report looked pretty strong today. Did you see what the dollar did after the jobs report? Remember, it was a really good jobs report. Things were cooking along. So why did the dollar go down? Why did gold go up? The gold went up because the dollar went down. So, but why did the dollar go down? It's very clear why. If you're, unfortunately, I sit here and I read everything that comes across about finances because I like it. And so that's why I know pretty much why the dollar fell when in actuality the economic numbers are looking better and the jobs report was really strong. You would think, and the Fed's going to raise rates next week. Shouldn't the dollar get stronger in the face of all that? Yeah, it should. Why didn't it? Got anybody got a theory out there? I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Any money question is welcome, especially beginner questions. I really like those. 888-99-CHART is our live listener line number, and you can call it right now. We're live, 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Hey, guys. It's Raja from California. I had a question about Shopify, S-H-O-P. Just wondering what you guys, what your take is on the sustainability, I guess, of this company going forward. Is it going to be something like Amazon where it just really, you know, has like, you know, positive movement, or is it going to end up being maybe something like Tesla? I see a lot of, you know, operating losses. Look forward to hearing your answer. Listen to you on the podcast. Thank you so much. All right, bye.
So it's Shopify, I think that's how you, S-H-O-P-I-F-Y, symbol S-H-O-P. It's a $5.7 billion company, provides cloud-based commerce platform for small and medium-sized businesses via subscription and merchant solutions. And they never made money, except for next year. 2018, they're going to make money for the first time. They're going to make 12 cents a share. It's a $64 stock. $64 stock. So if you take $64 and divide it by 12 cents, what PE do you get? 533. Now, why does it have such a high PE? Because it's growing its sales 90% every quarter for the last two quarters. Mind you, the sales are only $130 million in the last quarter, but they're growing them extremely fast. So everybody really likes the cloud-based stocks, you know, and this is one that's just taken off. Can it sustain this upward momentum? Not in a straight line. It's going to give back. It's going to have some kind of comeuppance. And it has to continue to increase their sales by 100% a quarter for many more quarters to keep up this momentum. As soon as it misses that 100% growth per quarter, you'll see the stock take a tumble. I mean, how many times have we seen this? That high growth stocks take a tumble when they can no longer sustain high growth because of the law of large numbers. They're just too big now. They get too big. Can't sustain it. By the way, this IPO'd at $17 in June of 2015. It's $64 now. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Our number is 888-99-CHART, and we're live. That's called our listener line. It's live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, but you can call at any time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Give us a call. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was wondering what your thoughts would be for U.S. Steel. The symbol is X.
I think you missed the most of the move in it. I think it right now at fair value. United States Steel Corp, symbol X, manufactures flat rolled and tubular steel products for the automotive, container, construction, and appliance business. It was around $15 for much of last year and $15, $16 right at the election time, and it's now $34. So it almost doubled. That's 100% return in 3 months, and simply because they turn things around. They're now, the most recent quarter, they grew 3%, but they're going to only make $2.58. So that's what, about 14 PE, 15 PE. And Mike, you got to remember, even though that doesn't sound very high, right? It doesn't. But steel companies and heavy industry companies traditionally always earned low PEs, under 10. So if you use 10, the stock's value is about $25. So, and remember, it's $34 right now. So it's about where the value is. So I don't think it has much more on the upside. I mean, it could, but I don't think it will. Okay, Mike?
Okay, good enough. Thank
Appreciate
you.
The question. Yeah, so you got to remember the industries that you're in. Nothing wrong with owning United States Steel Corporation. Nothing wrong with it. It's a great company. Doesn't pay enough dividend for me. It is a $6 billion company. But you got to remember the industry and what are the PE ratios and the return on equity ratios in the industry that you're looking at. A high-tech industry, PE ratios are sky high because usually there's a lot of growth, right? But an old line industrial company like this does not earn a high PE. Just remember that. Okay, let's talk about the four things the best 401ks have. And this is an article from Forbes. And I think three of the four things are fine, but the fourth one kind of stinks in my personal opinion. Never liked it. And I'll tell you why. First of all, now remember, these are the four best aspects that these are the best 401ks have. One is it has a passive investing. They have indexes. I like that. Okay, I'll go for that. Another one is they're low cost. Okay, I go for that too. I like that too. Usually low cost mutual funds. They should. And number three, they have high generosity from matching contributions from the employer. Makes perfect sense. The employer who matches high, you know, more than just a few percentage points is great. The fourth one, target dated funds, I think is a really bad idea. Target dated funds. I don't like target dated funds. These are those funds that many of you have in your 401ks that have a date, 2040, 2045, 2050, 2020, you know, usually every 5 years. And the theory is you pick the date of your retirement there and you just buy it and ignore it. Oh, that's really great for the mutual fund industry because these are funds of funds. In other words, it's a fund, 2045 fund, that buys funds and put them in there. And then they massage the funds as you get closer and closer to retirement. What that massage means is they keep buying you bond funds as you get closer and closer to retirement. Well, what if interest rates are very low and they're starting to raise bond funds and you're like right today? Would it be good to have a 2020 retirement target dated fund? That means you're going to have what, 50 plus percent, maybe 70, 80 percent. I don't know because each are different. And bond funds in an environment where the Fed is raising interest rates. That makes no sense. See, I don't like the target date funds because they ignore reality, what's going on. They just automatically buy you bond funds. Now, don't mistake me. I like bonds. I just don't like bond funds. And if you're going to buy a bond fund, you want to buy a certain kind of bond fund in this kind of environment. Maybe a floating rate bond fund, or maybe a TIP, Treasury Inflation Protected Bond Fund. Maybe a short maturity date bond fund, short-term bond fund. Yeah, you can buy those, but that's not how that works. So I don't like that fourth one there. I think that's kind of a lousy thing. That's not a high-quality sign of a high-quality 401k, not in my mind. But they think so. But everybody has their own opinions, and I have mine. I just told it to you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Mike in Hayward. How you doing, Mike?
My name is Nick.
Nick! I'm sorry, Mick.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for your call, beautiful call.
Thank you.
I'm thinking of ESRX. Seems like it may be a good buy. What do you think?
Okay, this is Express Scripts provides pharmacy benefit management. It's a $41 billion company, so it's a big blue chip safe company, and the sales are growing. Well, sales are kind of flattish, but earnings are growing. They're going to make $7.61 next year. This is about the price. It has hit 79, 78, 79, then goes back down to the high 60s. And Mick, this would be the price that you'd want to pick it up. It's at the low end of its 5-year PE ratio. I think this is where you want to consider buying it. Now, you might want to wait a few days, you know, maybe a week or two to make sure it's not falling any further. 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk. Give me a call.
Our podcast continues next. Just a couple of words for KPP Financial. It's pretty standard financial advice. You need to look after your portfolio. The market changes. Trends change. Companies change. Life changes. You've got to estimate how long your savings are going to last. What are the costs going to be? You may want to dial down the risk in your portfolio or maybe even increase it for the potential of higher returns. So, a portfolio checkup is more of a wellness check for your finances. Will your current plan sustain you through retirement? What adjustments should you be making now? It's a good idea to reserve your time as soon as possible, and you can do that right now on investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Now let's get back to the podcast. Looking ahead to our next Invest Talk, searching for alternatives that can help diversify stock and bond-laden portfolios. How to invest in the housing market? That's one of our topics next time on Invest Talk. We hope you can join us.
888-99-CHART. Ruby, how you doing? In Santa Clara, how you doing, Ruby?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. This is regarding the stock Richmond.
Okay, is this, what's the name of the company?
I can use the symbol.
Okay, if it's CFRHF, as in Frank?
Yes,
That F at the very end of that symbol? That means it's a foreign company. It's a foreign company. That's what that F stands for. And it's not showing up on any of my platforms, so I don't have any information on that company. So whenever you see a company with a symbol with an F at the very end, F is in Frank, not X. X means it's a mutual fund. F at the end means it's foreign. And it probably is not traded on our exchanges. What's the name of the company, Ruby?
Richmond. Yeah.
Sorry, I just don't have any information on it. Sorry. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, I have an email question, which I would like to answer. I'm going to skip it. This is from Adam. Adam is in the UK, and this is his question. I'm trying to get to that. He bought Apple, okay? He bought Apple, and he's made a 97% return. And it's about 13% of his overall holdings right now. And I wanted to keep Apple as a long-term hold, as I still see them as cheap, and they pay a fair dividend. So I didn't really want to cut my holdings. What would you suggest? Looking forward to hearing you. I would cut it in half. See, this goes straight to something that's near and dear to my heart, and that's about managing the risk in the portfolio. Apple's a great company. We own it in many of our managed accounts. I like it a lot. I think it's underpriced, and I think it's going to go higher. At the same time, you never have one stock dominate your portfolio. Now, you can. If you want to purposely take a lot of risk, then you do concentrate, okay? But if you're managing the risk of a portfolio and you want to be a steady growing portfolio over long periods of time, you learn to manage the risk. And once something gets too big in your portfolio, and remember at the beginning of the year, end of the year, and the beginning of the year, I was talking about rebalancing. Well, this is something that rebalancing is all about risk management. And so Apple's gone really high, right? Well, is it going to go higher? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. No one knows where it's going to go. I think it will go higher, but I still would not take the risk. If it's over 10% of your portfolio, and you've doubled your money, time to take some off the table. That's what I would do. Let's go to Dominic in Walnut Creek. How are you doing, Dominic?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, I used to own Kroger, and then I got out of the trade. I lost.
Did we lose him? You're going in and out, Dominic. Kroger. Do you want to know if you want to buy it or sell it?
I should get into Kroger right now, or should it, do you think it'll go lower?
Okay. Good question. Kroger. Kroger is operates 2,700 supermarkets, convenience stores, jewelry stores under Kroger, Ralph's, Quick Shop, and other names. It's a $27 billion company. It has fallen hard. It was in the mid-30s in December, and today it's at 28.82. So it fell pretty hard, and that was a low it made in October. So this is now at a double bottom. What I would do, Dominic, is I'd wait for it to bounce at the very minimum. You want, as I look at a chart, you want to see a bounce in it before you decide to step in, because you don't know if it's still falling or not. And that is the only way you know that maybe it's not going to fall anymore, if it bounces up. So I would wait till maybe it bounced up to about 29.50. Remember, it's at 28.82, so it's not that far. But I want to see some movement up. It's a grocery store, everybody. And grocery store chains typically have very small profit margins, and there's a lot of competition. So it's an area that I don't really care for too much. Kroger is a very good company. Very good company. They're growing their sales about 4%, 5%, 6% every quarter in the last year plus. They're going to make $2.12 this year, $2.19 next year, $2.31 the year after that. And that's the kind of company grocery stores are. Return on equity is very high at 30, so that's positive. Has a little bit more debt than I'd feel be comfortable with. But I'm not keen on grocery stores because of the profit margins and there's competition. Okay. Dominic, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Nice. Thanks.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said it's nice 72 degrees out here.
Oh, anyway, well, that's good.
I just wanted to ask you about UNG, natural gas.
United States Natural Gas?
I'm thinking about picking some up right around, I guess it's about 7-something right now, 7.25 or so.
Well, it looks like it's on a, just looking at a chart, I this would be a great time to pick it up because it bottomed right at $6.50, and it was back in April of last year, and then back in May of last year, it bounced off that number, and now it's bounced off again just here in March of this year. So that looks like pretty strong support, about $6.50, and it has moved up from there. And this is an ETF, everybody. An exchange, UNG is a symbol, United States Natural Gas Fund. Exchange-traded fund corresponding to the change in price of natural gas delivered at the Henry Hub in Louisiana. So from a chartist point of view, it bounced from a very strong bottom. Now the question is, do you think natural gas is going to be get a higher demand for it going forward? My feeling is it is, but at the same time, they're finding more natural gas in that shale oil formations, and they're drilling a lot. So I don't see natural gas going really high, but Art, I'll say this. This is probably going to go back to its previous highs. It seems to be about $9.30 or $9.50 in that range, and then falls again. So... It looks like it's stuck in a range to me.
Yeah, I was just going to try to get your take on natural gas itself.
I think we got so much of it, Art, that it's going to be hard for the prices to really get, any high, it's sustainable, really high prices. Just not. We have so much of it. Okay. Art, appreciate the call.
All right.
Thank you. If you're thinking a second opinion, it might be a good idea. If you think that that's what you want, give me a call. I'll be in San Jose on the 15th and on the 25th. I have a couple spots, maybe one left on the 15th. So if you really want to meet with me, you got to get a call. I am there every month, I also be there on the 25th because that's our wealth conference, and I will take a few appointments after the conference. If you're not near our California office, so we can't meet, we always can do it via Skype or the telephone. It's pretty easy to do. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, then Portfolio Review.
The best investing approach is one that combines disciplined fundamental analysis with a market perspective and an understanding of human psychology. As we say, it's an art, not a science. How about sharing your investing experience with us? We'd love to hear from you now. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. The jobs report came out, the official jobs report came out today. It was 235,000. Now, if you remember right, 2 days ago, the ADP jobs report for the month came out, and it was 290,000 something and change. How come the official report is less than that report? Well, first of all, the ADP report can be wrong often. But you got to remember, the ADP report is only private sector jobs, whereas the official report is private and public sector jobs. So there could have been layoffs or firings or reduction of government employees. That could have happened. Don't know, though. Not sure. One thing this report really did is it kind of made it certain that the Fed is going to raise the rates. And the Federal Reserve has done a very pretty darn good job of guiding our expectations that they are going to raise rates. So probably won't affect the market much. Everybody believes it's going to happen anyways. And what was really interesting is that we had a great jobs report. We know the Fed's going to raise rates, and you know, the economy's looking a little stronger. And yet today, the dollar went down in value after this jobs report. Usually that would be, you know, significantly supportive of a higher dollar. So why did it go down? Why did the dollar go down? Gold went up because the dollar went down today. Because the ECB, Mario Draghi, or Draga, however you say his name, said, though meaning the ECB, the European Union, European Central Bank, the ECB, the European Central Bank, is going to keep, this is what he said, they're going to keep their easing policies intact. In other words, buying more bonds, and it's a pretty big bond buying thing. But he also said that there is no threat of deflation. So he's hinting at, well, if there's no threat of deflation, then there must be the threat of inflation or nothing. You know, so if he's not worried about that, that comment strengthened the euro against the dollar. See, remember, the dollar is not all its own and goes where it wants. It's in relationship to other currencies. If Europe starts to even hint at getting a little bit stronger economically, then our dollar probably will weaken. So, and then if that happens, gold will go up. But no one knows for sure, but it certainly appears that the ECB and the EU are starting to look more bullish for their currency. Okay? Let's go to Robbie in Mountain View. How you doing, Robbie? I'm sorry, Bobby.
Thanks for taking... This is Bobby here, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. Just had a quick question. What are your thoughts on Netflix, NFLX, going forward 1 year from now?
Okay.
I'm thinking of getting into it.
Okay. Netflix provides internet subscription services to watch TV shows and movies. And I believe that the alternate TV experience is going to just keep growing, and the cable companies are going to have hard times. People are going to cut cables. And the services at Netflix and Hulu and those kinds of services, I think, are going to do very well. And obviously, Netflix has been doing very well for quite some time. Sales are growing, 30+% a quarter for Netflix. But they're only going to make $2.05 next year per share. That means their PE is like pretty high, 75?
60 or 70.
Yeah.
Yeah, 75.
Now, for them, I'm going to say this, Bobby, for them, that is not that high, because their five-year range is 32 to 470, okay?
Oh, okay.
For them, it's not that high. But for everybody in the normal world, that's pretty high, okay? So that's they fine. Have to keep the sales growing 20-30+%. If they don't, the stock will get hit pretty hard. But I think they actually have a good shot at doing that. They are a $60 billion company, so there's a saturation point, but there's a lot of more customers they can get from the cable companies.
So, okay.
I think if you're looking at a chart, I think you want to buy it on a pullback. It's just it hit some headwinds recently, and I think we might get a pullback, and that's when you buy it. I'm hoping a pullback. Okay. It'd be nice if it pulled back to the $120 area, $115, $120. That would be an ideal spot. Okay.
Okay. I know that they are trying to grow into China and India also,
yes.
But I haven't looked at the latest report. But there's a lot of scope for them to improve their subscriber base also.
They do. Yeah, they have some places to grow. I'm not convinced in China because China tends to like to steal technologies and then all of a sudden they have the Netflix of China and all of a sudden they throw Roblox in our company, Netflix. They do that quite frequently. So, but they do have room to grow. I think they do. Bobby, thanks for the question. I appreciate it. That's NFLX, Netflix, everybody. Coming to terms with investing. Here's an investing term you should understand. What is a stop limit order? A stop limit order. When you buy and sell stocks, what's a stop limit order? A stop limit order is an order placed with a broker that combines the features of a stop order, meaning to sell something, with those of a limit order, which means to sell something, to sell or buy something at a certain price. So a stop limit order will be executed at a specific price or better after a given stop price has been reached. Once the stop price is reached, the stop limit order becomes a limit order to buy or sell at the limit price. Meaning, maybe I need to make that a little bit simpler. So a limit price is you set a price to buy or sell something. I want to buy this stock at $25.82. That's a limit order. You can say I want to sell the stock at $25.82. That's a stop limit order. Okay? So it prevents you from losing much more money if it goes down. Okay? But it has to go back to that price. You have to get that specific price. What if it keeps falling right through it and you didn't get and it doesn't trigger? That does happen. You're listening to Invest Talk. Our last segment of the hour is coming up. You can still fit you in. 888-99-CHART. Ohama Titanic Syndrome. Not Obama. Ohama. O-H-A-M-A. Ohama Titanic Syndrome. What is that? Well, this is a sell signal or a warning signal that the market's going down, developed by a guy named Ohama. What is it? Well, when the New York Stock Exchange stocks, when the 52-week lows of stocks on the New York Stock Exchange exceeds the 52-week highs in four sessions or more in a row, it is a trigger for a downturn. Let me say that again. You know, there's highs, 52-week highs and 52-week lows for stocks on the market. So, when the 52-week lows, the stocks going down, exceed the number of 52-week highs 4 days in a row, four sessions in a row, that is a trigger that the market is going to fall. And we had that Monday through Thursday. So the Ohama Titanic Syndrome is in play. Now, what doesn't it do? It doesn't say, well, okay, it's a downturn. How deep is it going to be? And see, what if the downturn doesn't start for a month? Will they say, see, it called it. You see, it's always, the devil's always in the details, people. So what it does, if you think about it, it makes sense. What it's trying to do is track weakness and strength in the stock market. Weakness, you see, and more stocks hitting 52-week lows. In other words, they're at their lows for the last 52 weeks, and those lows, there's more and more and more of them, meaning the stock market's starting to weaken compared to those stocks making 52-week highs. And of course, that's bullish when the stocks make more high and high highs. So the broader the market going up, the less you have 52-week lows. So when the market starts to narrow its focus and the fewer and fewer stocks make highs, 52-week highs, then even if the stock hasn't really turned down, stock market really hasn't turned down, but they're finding more and more of the weaker companies getting weaker and weaker and weaker, that kind of is a signal that the bulls who are buying the market are getting nervous because they're now focusing their buys only on the top quality companies and they're selling off junk. That's the theory. Whether it's true or not, there's lots of theory. How about the, I like the Dow theory, which has been around for 100 plus years. I like the Dow theory. Do you know what the Dow theory is? Well, there's several parts to the Dow theory, but the main part is that if the Dow turns down, the Dow Industrial 30s, and the transports confirm it with turning down, then we might be in a down market. We'll see. Let's get back to our 24-hour anytime line, 888-99-CHART. Jenner called from Sonoma.
I'm a first-time caller, and I guess I have a question. Me and my husband had a Roth, each of our individual ones, before we got married, and he has a 401k, and he's going to be turning 29, and I'm 26. Combined total right now, we have about 30,000. I'm just wondering, at what point should we start turning it into something that's more conservative, or what should we be doing since we're pretty young and we still have a long, long time before we're going to retire? Thank you very much.
Okay, that's a very good question. You're way too young to even consider getting conservative. You need to be fully invested in the market with those Roths and try to keep adding to them, to keep putting money in them and keep buying and buy an index. Buy S&P 500 or NASDAQ or a combination or the Dow. Probably not the Dow. I'd rather see 500 or the NASDAQ. And just keep buying. You have so much time. Yeah, there's going to be times or maybe a year or two where it goes down in value. So that means buy more. But over the length of time, you're 26, he's 29, the length of time you're going to be working, you want to be fully in the market, even when it's overvalued, because you never know how much overvalued it's going to be. No one knows. So stay in the market. Don't try to time it. That never works. And that would be my suggestion. My time is up for this hour, everybody. Last hour of the week. If you'd like to contact me directly with a personal message, just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for being with us today. And maybe we can do it again Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.